There's a verse of scripture in Psalm 49:20, which reads like this: man that is in honor, in other words, man that is in a good position in life and understandeth not. In other words, God is blessing him, but he doesn't comprehend what God is doing for him, is like the beasts that perish. Man that is in honor and understandeth not is like the beasts that perish. Well, we're going to look at a man that was in honor and he understood it not. And God had to make him, he actually became beast-like, animal-like. Well, let's take our Bibles and turn to Daniel chapter 4. And there in this chapter we have that the lesson on the madness of King Nebuchadnezzar. Under Nebuchadnezzar's able leadership, Babylon became the most wealthy and powerful nation of its day. Its empire extended throughout the Middle East to the degree every nation came under some degree of its influence. And Nebuchadnezzar's impact and power were apparent in the massive infrastructure projects that he instituted. We're talking about an extensive system of walls. I read where he and his men built 56 miles of walls. Some of them were 80 feet wide and 320 feet tall. I mean, that would even be a significant wall today. Beautiful temples, 53 temples, roads and bridges. They built a bridge across the Euphrates River that was 400 feet long. We think of 400 feet, that's not a big deal. Well, it was back in those days, 400 feet. Palaces, gates, even a ziggurat, which was kind of this, which took the form of a pyramidal tower. Historians tell us it was 288 feet high. Nebuchadnezzar even created a remarkable hanging what? Garden, which became one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. We're talking about a remarkable man. A remarkable man. As you can imagine, seeing all this, understanding just the magnitude of the Babylonian Empire, it was very easy for Nebuchadnezzar to become what? Proud. To become proud. Proud of all that his hands had made. In fact, as he stood atop one of his huge palaces, historians tell us he had three magnificent palaces, gazed out over his realm, he told himself that he had accomplished it all through his own might, majesty, power, all his abilities. Quite literally, Nebuchadnezzar saw himself as an omnipotent sovereign. He believed he held the world in his hands. But the true and living God saw this king and his kingdom in a far different light. In this study, we'll see that pride does not elevate a person, but rather it debases him. In God's eyes, pride lowers the haughty to the level of a beast. However, God doesn't want this demise to be the end, and so he disciplines the vain, the conceited. He humbles the arrogant for the purpose of bringing the boastful to godliness. And such a path of life we'll focus on tonight. Just some chronological information here. Nebuchadnezzar's second dream probably took place some 10 years before the end of his 43-year reign. The Lord allowed this king, after Daniel interpreted the dream, 1 year to repent. Now, I think that's significant. God allowed Nebuchadnezzar, after he knew of the dream, the meaning of it, the significance it had for him, God gave him 1 year to repent, to turn to him and him alone to be his one true God. But of course, he did not. And so he experienced 7 years of madness as he lived like a beast, like an animal out in the forest. And then after he was restored, historians tell us he lived 2 or 3 more years before his death in 562 BC. So a little, maybe some information you weren't aware of regarding Nebuchadnezzar. Point number one, we see Nebuchadnezzar's edict. We see his edict, and that's found in verses 1 through 3. Let me read verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar, the king unto all the people, nations, languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. The events of this chapter took place after Daniel's friends were saved from the fiery furnace. And then we have Nebuchadnezzar's edict. And of course, this really was an edict of what he came to understand through all these trials and difficulties. But it was addressed to the same audience as his command to worship the golden image of himself in Daniel chapter 3. However, this time he was telling them about the one true God. Not just Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's God was one of the gods, but that their God was now his God, and he was the one true God. Rather than speaking of houses being made an ash heap, Nebuchadnezzar opened his edict with a greeting of peace. Notice verses 2 and 3. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God had wrought toward me. How great are his signs, and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. Rather than referring to God as the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, which he did in chapter 3, verse 29, he now understood that God was the Most High God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And further, Nebuchadnezzar recognized that the Lord was dealing directly with him, showing him personally signs and wonders to make himself known to the king. And consequently, Nebuchadnezzar went from being a persecutor of God's people to becoming one of God's people. Which brings us to point number 2, Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Notice verse 4, I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in my home or house, flourishing in my palace. Again, in his pride, Nebuchadnezzar thought he was somehow responsible for all his good fortune. He was flourishing. I mean, everything was coming his way. But who does Nebuchadnezzar remind you of? Someone from the New Testament at this point in his life. Who comes to your mind as far as someone that had the same mindset as Nebuchadnezzar? The rich young ruler. What did he say? He had all this wealth, and so he said, I'm going to tear down these barns, build greater barns, and then I'm going to do what? Eat, drink, and be merry. Well, verse 5, I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. Therefore made I a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known unto me the interpretation of the dream. Then came in the magicians and the astrologers, the Chaldeans, the soothsayers, and I told the dream before them, but they did not make known unto me the interpretation thereof. Just like dream one, number one, this group of wise men failed to explain the dream. Now, there's one difference between dream number one and dream number two in respect to how Nebuchadnezzar communicated to these wise men. So this time, he actually told them the dream. Now, verse 8. But at the last, Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar, Shazar, according to the name of my God. In other words, he was named after the primary God that Nebuchadnezzar worshipped. In whom is the spirit of the holy gods, and before him I told the dream, saying. Who at this time was Nebuchadnezzar's god, Bel-Merodach, an alternate form of Baal. However, his allegiance to that false god was about to end. Continuing verse 9. And Belteshazzar, master of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee, and no secret troubleth thee, tell me the visions of my dream that I have seen, and the interpretation thereof. Thus were the visions of my head, in my bed, I saw and behold a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. The tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached unto the heaven, and the sight thereof to the end of the earth. Does anyone think of something that this reminds you of when he said it reached, this tree reached unto the heaven? Tower of Babel. Verse 12. The leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all the beasts of the field. They had shadow under it, and the fowls of the heaven dwelt in the boughs thereof, and all flesh was fed of it. I saw in the visions of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher and a holy one came down from heaven. Now the question is, who was this holy watcher who came down from heaven? I believe it was an angel. Very good. And as you recall, angels often had roles in the administering of God's judgment, as we see in Genesis chapters 18 and 19. Can anyone remember what took place then? Sodom and Gomorrah. So the angels had something, I mean, they were involved in the destruction, the judgment of Sodom and Gomorrah. Can anyone think of another example of an angel being involved in rendering judgment on God's enemies? How about the Assyrian army under Sennacherib? Didn't an angel come? It's about two or three passages, but Isaiah 37 talks about this angel coming and destroying the Assyrian army, and how many people were killed? 185,000. And then another example is Revelation 6, where the angels are involved in bringing to pass the seven bowl judgments, Revelation 16. Verse 14, he cried aloud and said thus, hew down the tree and cut off its branches, shake off its leaves, scatter its fruit, let the beasts go away from under it and the fowls from his branches. The beasts and the birds in the dream represented the many people who were under the king's leadership. They would be soon taken out from Nebuchadnezzar's dominion. Verse 15, nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass, in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, that the portion be with the beasts of in the grass of the earth. Obviously, the tree, as Daniel was about to explain, represented Nebuchadnezzar, who had grown proud. That this tree had grown grand, it had grown proud in his, he had grown grand and proud in his kingly glory, but the Lord was about to humble him. Now, he would not totally destroy him, and how do we know that to be true? He left, the stump would be left. And what else tells us that God would not totally destroy Nebuchadnezzar? We see here that a band of iron and brass would help bind the stump. And that suggested that the Lord would firmly protect Nebuchadnezzar from being utterly removed. Verse 16, let his heart be changed from man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass over him. And a time is how long? A year. Very good. So 7 years. There's a disease called lycanthropy, in which a person thinks he's an animal and consequently lives like an animal. And he takes on certain animal characteristics, eating grass. We'll see here in verse 33 that Nebuchadnezzar actually grew hair like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. And so again, he would talked about seven times passing over him. In other words, this he would experience, think about this, he would experience this judgment for 7 years. Went from living in these magnificent palaces to living as an animal out in the field. Verse 17, this matter is by decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basest of men. Here is the central principle. God is supreme over the affairs of men. And God's chosen ruler is characterized by humility, not pride. And a righteous king understands that he rules only by the grace of God, and that the one who raised up a king can also cast him down. So in this sense, the lowest, the basest of men is the ruler who has the humble heart, who turns continually to God for guidance and wisdom. And this brings us to our third point, and that's Daniel's interpretation. Notice verses 18 and 19. Then this dream I, Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now thou, O Belteshazzar, declare the interpretation thereof. For as much as all the wise men, my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation, but thou art able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in thee. Then Nebuchadnezzar, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished for 1 hour, and his thoughts troubled him. The king spake and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. Belteshazzar answered and said, my lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. Now please understand that Daniel was astonished and troubled by the meaning of the dream, not by an inability to understand the dream. Now, why was he troubled by this dream? I mean, he understood the dream. Why would he be troubled by it? Anyone have a thought? It was bad news. It was bad news for whom? The king. And he knew that he would be delivering this news to the king. Certainly, Daniel wished that the events that Nebuchadnezzar would soon experience be rather the fate of the king's enemies, not the king himself. Now, verse 20. The tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached unto the heaven, and the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all, under which the beasts of the field dwelt, and upon whose branches the fowls of the heaven had their habitation. It is thou, O king, thou art grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown and reacheth unto heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. And whereas the king saw a watcher and a holy one coming down from heaven and saying, hew the tree down and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field. Let it be wet with the dew of heaven. Let his portion be with the beasts of the field till seven times pass over him. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my lord the king, that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee. In other words, it shall be secured. It's not going to be taken away from you. After that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. Now keep in mind, Nebuchadnezzar was being driven away not by people as angels, but by God, or angels, but by God. And what was the reason for the purpose to teach him that the Most High God ruleth, not you, Nebuchadnezzar, God rules. Verse 27, wherefore, O king, let my counsel be accepted unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. In other words, a lengthening of the prosperity that you are experiencing. Daniel's advice, turn now, Nebuchadnezzar, from your sinful pride. Learn to be merciful. It may be God will then spare you the humiliation that is coming. Notice verse 28. And all this came upon the king, Nebuchadnezzar, at the end of 12 months. Remember, I told you God gave him how long to repent? A year. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? Nebuchadnezzar still did not get it. He continued to believe that he was the one responsible for Babylon's success. He had elevated himself to replace God in his thinking. And of course, he was thinking this after, think about this, he was still thinking this after his first dream, in which God explained to him that the gold that represented his kingdom was going to be what? It was going to be destroyed. It was going to be taken away. And he was still thinking this way after Daniel chapter 3, where we find Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego being delivered from the fiery what? Furnace. And he's still thinking this way after Daniel explained to him his dream and the interpretation. I mean, you would think, after all Nebuchadnezzar had been through, knowing that what Daniel had interpreted before came to pass, or was going to come to pass, that he would realize, well, this 7 years is going to come to pass, and why not repent and flourish under God's hand of blessing? And yet we see Nebuchadnezzar's madness, which is point number 4. Verse 31, while the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee, it's taken from thee, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High God ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men, and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were growing like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. Wow. Again, the degradation was not meant to destroy Nebuchadnezzar, but to humble him to the point of repentance. And then this, our last point, Nebuchadnezzar's salvation. Point number five. At the end, verse 34, at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, Why, what doest thou? At the same time, my reason returned unto me. And for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and brightness returned unto me. And my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and the excellent majesty was added unto me. Instead of looking to himself and his accomplishments as he did before, and he did so in pride, Nebuchadnezzar now looked up to the God of heaven and praised and honored him, which tells us Nebuchadnezzar no longer saw God as the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He could now say, verse 37, I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the God of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase.